You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Good morning, church. Are you ready to come around? Tune in your ears to the voice of God this morning. This morning, we're going to be looking at living in the outcomes. As a church, we've been going through our time of prayer and fasting. We're coming to the end of week two, one more week to go. So what are living in the outcomes of when we pray and when we fast as the body of Christ? And we're taking this story this morning from the book of Ezra, chapter 7. And this is what I really felt the Holy Spirit saying to us. That when we hear the word of God this morning, God is going to be opening up our eyes to what the Holy Spirit wants to speak into your heart and your life and your family this morning. That blind man at Bethsaida, he was blind. They brought him to Jesus and Jesus touched his eyes. But when Jesus asked him, "What can you see?" he couldn't see clearly yet. And for maybe some of us here today, you're not seeing clearly in your situation. You're not seeing clearly in your challenges what God is doing, but you have a heart to see clearly what God knows, what God sees, so that He can put that knowledge into your hands today, that you can be guided by Jesus, His thoughts, His ways, the way He sees this morning. Is that what you want this morning, church? To see clearly, to hear clearly from God when challenge comes. And right in this moment for that blind man, challenge had come because Jesus had touched his eyes, but he couldn't see clearly yet. So instead of saying, "Hey, Jesus, it's okay. You know, you've done enough. I can see a little bit." He stayed a little longer. Halfway point. Are you at halfway point this morning where you don't see clearly, but you want to go beyond the halfway point this morning because your heart desires to see Jesus clearly, even when there's areas where you can't see? And I love what this blind man did. He didn't stay at halfway point. He crossed over to the other side. And this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to cross over to the other side because you have a God who wants you to see the way He sees. He wants you to understand the way His thoughts are towards you. And we saw that blind man go beyond halfway point, not walk away. Go beyond halfway point, stayed with Jesus, and Jesus completely healed him. And I love what the blind man said. And this is what's for us this morning, church. Not only could he see what was in front of him, he could see even what was at a distance. And we're going to claim that this morning, that we as the people of God are going to see not just what's in front of us right now, but we're going to see even what's at a distance this morning. Do you believe that this morning? So Father God, we pray. That's our prayer today. Our heart is turned towards you. For some of us, we might be at halfway point, but today we're crossing over to the other side where we see and understand who you are amongst our challenge, God, because you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. And God, your word does not fail. Your word always meets its destination point. And today we are a part of your word, making the destination point to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. You know, Ezra was a scribe. He was a teacher. He obeyed and taught the word of the Lord to all of the Israelites. And Ezra felt an incredible call of God to leave Babylon, to lead the Jews back to Jerusalem, returning to their homeland, that where he would teach them God's word. But in order to move from captivity, in order to move from exile, somebody had to change the heart of the king. And that's what this story is about, that God moved the heart of King Artaxerxes. He moved his heart to give Ezra and the Jews his blessings to go, sending many valuables with them. Not only were they granted permission to leave, not only were they given freedom, But God moved the king's heart so much that they weren't going into Jerusalem. They weren't returning home with their arms and their hands empty. God had moved the heart of the king so greatly that they were going home arms full with valuables to worship, to set up the temple, grains and money to buy, to build, to buy animals so that they could live in prosperity. And Ezra told the king that his gracious God would protect them. So while camping at the Ahava Canal before setting out to Jerusalem, Ezra proclaimed a fast. You know, this is halfway time for them. This is the halfway point for them. But as they proclaimed a fast, it was the fast of looking to their God that would move them beyond the halfway point to cross over. Why did Ezra proclaim a fast? What are the outcomes today for you and I of prayer and fasting? Ezra and the Jews humbled themselves before God, asking him for protection and a safe journey for them and their children. Scripture says that Ezra was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers to protect them and the valuables because he had stated that God's hand would indeed protect them. He didn't want the king to think that they had lost faith in God. Ezra knew that going to God collectively in humility, fasting, and prayer would indeed move the heart of God. So what was the result? They fasted and prayed, and God answered their prayers, living in the outcomes of the Word of God that gives you God's promises this morning. You know, Ezra felt an incredible call of the Lord to take his people from Babylon and return them to their homeland, Israel. Ezra was born into captivity. There is a call on Ezra's life to see restoration to the hearts of families that had grown incredibly weary from the place of captivity. You see, their bodies may have been in captivity, but today we know with the truth and the promises of God's word that their spirit was not in captivity. What happens when the call of God meets your present captivity? When God's calls of his miracles meets the confinements of your sickness. When God's call of leadership and influence meets your unemployment. When God's call of family meets your chaos of captivity. When God's word of a sound mind meets your heart with anxiety. What outcomes can we expect to be living in if you keep your position in God while your present space is one of captivity and confinement? You can expect today to live in the outcome knowing that God has not forgotten you. Ezra declared that they were still God's people and God had not forgotten them. Maybe today your current challenge feels like captivity and your heart has grown weary. Maybe the condition you've been facing has conditioned you. Today you can know with assurance you are living in the outcome of the knowledge that you can give God your heart. Because that is what worship is, when your heart lines up with the truth of who God is, that he has not forgotten you and you can return to him. He wants to regather every part of you today. Areas in your heart where it has been a daily struggle to sometimes survive. He wants to rebuild what has been destroyed. He wants to move your heart today that you can worship him in spirit and in truth. I love the way Joel puts it. The Lord declares to us today, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, not neat and tidy, not all together, with fasting and weeping and mourning. You can come as you are to God today. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. For he is gracious, he is compassionate, He's slow to anger. He's abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity. Hebrews 13, Paul writes it like this. He has said to you this morning, I will never under any circumstances desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you with support, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless this morning, nor will I forsake you or let you down or relax my hold on you, assuredly not. So we take comfort and are encouraged, and we can confidently say this morning, the Lord is my helper. In time of need, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? God had never put them in captivity. Man had put them in captivity. The Lord is my helper. In my time of need, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? When we allow the truth of his word to become truth in our heart and confess this belief with our mouth this morning, this is our worship. You are living in the outcomes that the Lord is your helper. You don't have to stay in fear, because he said in the promise of his word that his perfect love, his abounding love, shall cast out all fear. If helplessness has taken captivity, we can return to the Lord, who will never leave you without resource. Not only had God given them freedom from their captivity, but all the riches of gold and wealth and resource to support them in this new season that they were walking into. Philippians 4:19 says, and this same God, the same God that we're worshiping this morning, the same God that loves you, this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. He will not forsake you or let you down or relax his hold on you. Assuredly not, the Lord says. God's promises are his words to you. You are living in the outcome of God's promises this morning. So what does it mean for us today to live with the promises of his word? It means that we live in his words over our lives. His word that does not fail, that meets its target, that will not return void this morning. It always meets the destination where God said it will go. This morning, not only are we living in God's promises, we are living in the promises of God's word. Ezra 7:10 said, for Ezra had set his heart to study God's word and to do it and to teach his statutes to all the people in Israel. For the good hand of the Lord of the God was on him. God's word was the very foundation. His promises that this journey that they're really about to embark on, they've never been this way, but this journey had to be fixed to the word of God. The word would manifest the unseen. Ezra and all the people had a long, weary journey of 4 months before them. Little experience of arms, warfare, desert, hardships, because from their Babylonian homes, they never knew what it was like to be in warfare or desert marches. This was completely overwhelming to them. This long, continuous stretch was infested by wild bands of thieves. But for all of us here today, there is a journey in our desert seasons. God will reveal to you in your wilderness roads, and he will show you the streams in the deserts that you go through, because this is the promise of God's word. So how could they protect themselves? Who was going to protect them from thieves while walking in the call of God? Ezra knew that he had but to ask and have an escort from the king that would ensure their safety till they saw Jerusalem. King Artaxerxes' name meant the long-handed one, which expressed the reach of his power and influence. his arm on this desert could reach these wandering thieves. And if Ezra and his people were visibly under the king's protection, they could march secure to Jerusalem. Grandparents, children, babies were on this desert march. All he had to do was ask the king, and safety would be guaranteed. Ezra was faced with two directions, a direction in the natural or a decision in the spiritual. Ezra had stood by the word and declared to the king that his gracious God would indeed protect them. You know, it took some strength of principle to abstain from asking what it would have been so natural to ask, so easy to get, so comfortable to have. But as he said, he remembered how confidently he had spoken of God's defense, and he feels that he must be true to his professed declaration, even if it deprives him of the king's guards. This is why he calls them to fast and to pray. Our breakthroughs are opposed by powerful forces, and powerful forces were given in this stretch of desert. But more personally, even the choice of his own self-reliance. But Ezra was living in the outcome of God's word. And it was God's word that not only had he talked about, he had to prepare himself and the people through prayer and fasting how to stand on God's word. Living in the outcomes of preparation. God often calls you to do which is beyond your abilities and resources. Exodus 15 says this: with your unfailing love, you lead the people you have redeemed. You lead the people. God, with your unfailing love, you lead us because we are the redeemed. In your might, not my strength, in your might and strength, you will guide them to their sacred home. God had promised to lead them home, but preparation was needed for this new season. They had to pause and hear from God as they had never been this way before. By us, Gateway Church, praying and fasting, we too, like Ezra and the people, are taking a pause to receive from God what he wants to speak to us. What the natural cannot do, we need to hear what our God, who is supernatural, can do in the next season that he's calling us into. What is the desire of your heart for this season that you are in right now? And what is God calling your heart home to? No, it's going to stretch you. No, it's going to challenge you. Is God calling you to receive that which is beyond your own ability and resources? What counsel are you needing today? Fasting and praying is his preparation, positioning you to hear and to receive what you do not know and what you cannot see this morning. Exodus 18:23 says this: if you follow this advice, and if God commands you to do so, then you will be able to endure the pressures, and all these people will go home in peace. That means that you do not have to be overridden by the pressures of the storms that you go in. Jesus said, you will have trouble in this world, but take heart, I have overcome the world. It does mean that you won't face challenge. You will face storms all the time, but take heart this morning. He will lead you home. You can endure the pressures because it's not your strength that you are relying on this morning. It is the strength of a mighty God who is supernatural. The hills melt like wax in the presence of the Lord this morning. When God moves your heart, you must respond with action, but do so with wisdom, with God's words that you can stand upon his wisdom in your situations. For it is the preparation that will reveal God's provision in your life to accomplish the task through you. This morning, we can be encouraged that we are living in the outcomes of God's provision this morning. Ezra 8:21, and there by the Ahava Canal, I gave orders for all of us to fast and humble ourselves before God. We prayed that God would give us a safe journey and protect us and our children and our goods as we traveled. Isn't that what we are asking God to do in our lives, in our workplaces, in our city, in our families? God, before we go out, even into my Monday, may I know that your hand of protection is upon me because you have made provision for me because I'm standing on your word and your promises this morning. You're going to give us safe journey. It said, for I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to accompany us and protect us from enemies along the way. After all, we had told the king, our God's hand of protection is on all who worship him. But his fierce anger rages against those who abandon him. So we fasted and we earnestly prayed that our God would take care of us. We put ourselves, our grandchildren, our babies, our grandparents, our families, our wives, we put them in God's hands and he heard our prayer. You need to know that you have a God who hears your prayers. You have a God who will answer you because his word always meets his destination. It will not fail because he will not relax his hold on you. The enemy will shame you in the area that God most wants to use you. The enemy will attack you. Shame is not from God. The enemy will attack you with shame. Attack you with shame in the area that God most wants to use you in. But the reason the enemies try to hold you there is because he knows on the other side of shame is God's double portion of provision for your life. And we need to take hold and authority over the enemy of shame right now, because on the other side is your double portion of provision. Let your heart faint not this morning. Don't get to halfway point and retreat back. It is time for the people of God to make their step forward. And standing on the word of God is his authority that releases the double portion in your life this morning. Isaiah 61:7, get this scripture into your heart this morning. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. Do you notice when shame attacks you? What does it attack? Your joy. And God is saying here, everlasting joy will be yours. Pull those strongholds down this morning, because everlasting joy is your outcome this morning. To live in the outcomes of prayer and fasting is to enjoy a double share of God's honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your households. Everlasting joys will be yours to claim and possess. You live in the outcomes of God's promises. This morning, you live in the outcomes of God's word that has made a way where nothing in the natural has made a way. You are living in his preparation of prayer and fasting that walks you into God's provision over your life. The desert, the next part of your journey to freedom, is strategic ground, and the enemy does not want to give up his territory. But authority has already been given to you and I, and as we stand upon his word, we're going to take back what the enemy has stolen from us. Territory in God is ours this year. Yes and amen. Shame must bow this morning. Anxiety must bow this morning. Hopelessness must bow this morning, because we live under God's protection and his provision, and we stand upon his word. 2 Corinthians 10. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments that keep raging in our head. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture. Notice what the word says. We stand on His word. We capture those thoughts, the rebellious thoughts, and teach them to obey Christ. We teach shame to obey Christ. We teach anxiety to obey Christ this morning because we are living in God's provision this morning. I am Jehovah Jireh, your provider. My grace is sufficient for you this morning. The Lord will provide because we are living in the outcomes of God's love this morning. When we allow the truth of His word to become truth in our heart, I want you to listen to this because this is what worship is. When we allow the truth of His word, the truth of who He is, when we allow that to become truth in our heart and confess that belief with our mouth, this is worship. This is worship. That when I worship you in my challenges, when I worship you in my storms, because Jesus said, you will have trouble. You will have trouble. So when that trouble comes upon me, which seems like daily, God, I'm going to allow the truth of your word. I'm going to allow the truth of your word that says, take heart. I have overcome the world. I'm going to confess that you love me. I'm going to confess that I can turn my heart to you, even though I feel the challenges of the trouble, because this is my worship. You are living in the outcome of God's love for you. Ezra chapter 8 says this: we broke camp at the Ahava Canal on April 19 and started off to Jerusalem. And the gracious hand of our God, this morning, the gracious hand of God is upon our lives. It's upon His church this morning. The gracious hand of God protected us and saved us from enemies and bandits along the way. So we arrived. Imagine all the grandchildren, imagine all the grandparents, all the families, marriages have stayed intact. No matter what was around them and what they were facing, the hand of God was there to protect those families. And they arrived safely in Jerusalem, where they rested in 3 days, resting in the confidence that God has got them every step of the way. Ezra said this: the hand of our God was upon us, and He delivered us from the hand of the enemy, and we came home. It was no rash venture that we made. He was all that we hoped for and asked for. He kept us because we had no other help, and all our hope was in Him, for so great was His love for us. Worship was restored. Who God said He was now truth in the hearts of the people that had grown weary from their captivity. No longer were their hearts away from God, but their hearts had returned back to God, because who God said He was, He restored into their lives and brought them safely to Jerusalem. God says to us this morning, you can turn your heart back to Him. Those areas that you become weary in, you can turn your heart back to Him, because God wants to return you safely to your home. What's the home? Him. He chose your heart to make His home in this morning. It's Jesus who dwells and lives and breathes within your spirit, your heart, and your life. You can return to Him. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say in response to these things? I want us to stand this morning. I want us to get excited this morning, because this is God's word that we are standing on as His church this morning. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? His church, His people, His chosen ones this morning. Who will bring in is God who justifies, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also right now interceding for every single one of you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, shall shame, shall hardship, shall anxiety, shall separateness? What shall separate us from the love of Christ? From famine, nakedness, danger of sword? Verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors. I'm standing on the word right now, Jesus. I'm letting the truth of your word come into my heart. Even though there's been so much challenge this week, where fear has gripped my heart, where shame has taken a hold of my head, don't think that I stand here this morning untouched by the trouble in my world. But this morning, God, I need to declare a truth, and I need it to come into my heart. And with the confession of my mouth, I declare that you are God. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God. You are my rock. You are my salvation. This morning, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen. And amen. Amen, God. Amen, God. Amen, God. We worship you. We worship you this morning. 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 Today. Today you are living in the outcomes that when we pray and fast, God's promise is upon you, because his words are true and you can stand upon them, because he is the great authority than any other authority in this world. His words are true. He will prepare you to receive his provision and his love that does not fail you, that does not forsake you. This morning, what areas in your heart, what areas in your heart is God calling you to? You need to know this morning that God has not forgotten you. When feelings of anxiety come, it's real. When shame attacks your mind, when challenge and trouble come to seize your family, you need to understand that God has not forgotten you. It's so easy for the situations to start conditioning with you. Well, this is just how life is. This is just our new normal this morning. I need you to understand not to be conditioned by the situation, to be conditioned by God's word this morning that shall not fail you. When the weariness starts to come and we start to distract ourselves with other things, our own self-reliance, know that God, you can give your heart back to him today. He has not forgotten you. Is shame attacking you? Trying to take your heart captive? This morning, we need to stand on God's word to capture those thoughts. When your heart lines up with the truth of who God is and you believe it and confess it with your mouth, this is worship. You know, my desire for us as the Church of Gateway is to worship him with our arms raised, reaching, desiring, unabandoned, unashamedly, worshipping our Saviour, lifting our praises to God. Even though trouble is seizing me, it cannot seize my spirit. And this morning, my spirit will worship.
This morning, it's God's heart for each and every single one of us to live in his outcomes. Say it one more time this morning. Each and every single one of us, not just for some, it's his heart for us to live in his outcomes. What I want to do before we finish up this morning is, there is but one way to step into his outcomes, and that's through relationship with Jesus. maybe you don't know God personally. You've heard about some of the outcomes. It's like, yeah, I want that for me. Yeah, I want that for my family. Yes, I want that for the people in my world. The first thing you need to do, invite Jesus into your life. Ask for forgiveness of sin. And step into the wholeness and fullness of a relationship with Jesus. So just with everyone's eyes closed for a moment this morning. Maybe you're in the room this morning and this is so real to you. Maybe you're watching at home or at work, wherever you are this morning. Yeah, I want Jesus. I want a relationship with God. I want to know Him personally. I want to live in the outcomes of forgiveness and redemption. I want to know Him personally. If that's you this morning, I just want to give you the opportunity. Say, yeah, that's me. If that's you, on the count of three, why don't you just lift up your hand and say, yeah, that's me. One, two, three. Lift up your hand if that's you this morning. No one's looking at you. Awesome. Yes. Awesome. Is anyone else this morning? So yeah, I need to do that too. Awesome. Thank you. Is anyone else this morning? I need to step into everything that God's got for me and it starts here this morning. Yes, thank you. If you're at home this morning, watching online, I acknowledge that this morning that you're responding. Anyone else in the room this morning? Yeah, I need to do that. Once you put your hand up, you can put it down. Anyone else this morning? This is what I want us to do this morning. Just with the eyes closed for a minute longer. We're going to pray a prayer. Asking Jesus to come into our heart, into our life. Ask for His forgiveness. Let Him know that we're going to follow Him for all of our days. In Romans 10 verse 9, it says that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, acknowledge that God raised Him from the dead, then we'll be saved. So let's do that in prayer this morning. With everyone's eyes closed, church, join in together. If you're watching online, join in together. Lord Jesus, I thank You that You died for me, that You rose again for me, that You've taken my sin, You've taken my shame, and given me freedom. I believe that You rose from the grave. I confess with my mouth, believe in my heart, that You're Lord. Forgive me of my sins. I surrender my life to You. From this moment on, I'm living in Your outcomes. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that for the first time and you've prayed it again, I'm so happy for you this morning. In fact, so happy that the entire auditorium is going to clap for you this morning. So good. You know, on the way out, if you prayed that prayer, one of our team's got a little booklet for you. So that you know what to do next. What I would also encourage you to do, if you're feeling up to it this morning, one of our team is going to be up the front here this morning. You pray that prayer for the first time, or maybe the second time, or however many times, it doesn't matter. One of our team is going to be here to encourage you and help you to walk on with that. If you're at home this morning, go to gc.org.au/firststeps. It's all there for you. Email us, we want to get in contact. God bless you, church. So happy about Jesus this morning. So happy that we have been encouraged with that message this morning. Something that we can take into our week. Isn't that good? So good.